good afternoon, listeners. My guest today has called us. She's actually on the phone from jolly old England, where she's working on her graduate degree. And Hannah Riles has been with us before. And if my music will work, I will play that, and we will get the show started. You are listening to the Young Adult Cafe. My name is Laura Moe, and as I mentioned, my guest today is Hannah Riles. So good afternoon, or actually good evening there. I believe it's about 8 o'clock in Bath, England. So
it is, yes.
Good, good. So how do you like it so far? I think you moved there, what, about a week ago?
Yes, it's officially been a week, and it's an absolutely perfect city. First step into it, I knew this was the right choice for me. Very
mm-hmm.
friendly and cozy and picturesque, so I am loving it.
Awesome, awesome. And we'll talk a little bit about your novel. Actually, this is a sequel to Ascension, which came out, I believe, you were on our show, I believe it was about a year ago when Ascension came out, and you were still in college then. And one of the interesting things about you is you were actually a preteen when you started writing Ascension, and you were a teenager, you were in high school when it was published. Am I correct on that?
I was in high school when it was acquired. I was actually
acquired.
A sophomore in college when it was finally published, but yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's right. Because last time I talked to you, you were still in working on your undergraduate degree. And that's another thing I'd like to talk to you about on the air today, is because your degree is actually in writing. And
yes.
But go ahead and give the listeners an elevator pitch of Clandestine, and then we'll talk a little bit about some of the challenges of writing a sequel to an existing work.
Absolutely. So Clandestine picks up exactly the moment that Ascension leaves off. Now Cheyenne and Anne are trapped inside Anne's home by Cheyenne's cousin, Lilith, and they have this huge ascending plot against the vampires now, and they're planning on using Cheyenne as a tool to lure the vampires and essentially take over and earn their freedom. And this book is really about Cheyenne listening to her gut, because she has all of these people telling her what's right and what's wrong and what the truth is. And she's got the witches, she's got the vampires, she's got the Dewsong, she has her own head. So she has to discern for herself what she believes to be right. And that's a pretty scary thing for an 18-year-old, basically. But one of the also neat parts about the book is that it's based in college, because Cheyenne is forced into the Dewsong University, clandestine university, a year early. And that's a very unusual experience, but plays a very major role in helping her decide everything that she needs to decide.
And one of the things as I was reading your book, because I knew that you were attending the University of Tennessee, and I wondered, how is Clandestine's campus similar to University of Tennessee? So did you borrow from some of the scenery there to describe the campus?
No, I actually was kind of inspired by Tulane University in New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was my dream school, and I was accepted there, but just it financially made more sense to go to UT Chattanooga. But I was in my head, I never state this in the book, but in my head I was picturing basically just an underground version of Tulane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because New Orleans figures prominently in Ascension.
Yes.
So I guess that makes sense because she spends quite a bit of time throughout the book in there. This is a sequel, and how challenging was that to write a sequel to something? I know that you had intended this as a trilogy from the beginning, and was your intent to create a sequel for readers who had already read Ascension, or are you trying to hopefully people could read this as its own standalone?
I think it's possible for people to catch up in the second book, just because Cheyenne, you go back over like all the bad things that have happened to her and kind of what's led to this point of her being captured in the very beginning. However, just because it does pick up exactly where I left off in the first book, I think the first one, and that's just how I write. It's pretty much the way I started writing the draft of the third one pretty much picks up exactly where I left off in the second one.
Yeah, could you leave
so
this
it is
as
very
a
much.
This is a cliffhanger.
Yes.
Thing, so,
yes, people hate me for them.
Yeah. So, now, since you have, because your degree is in writing, and this one, it didn't take you as long to write as it did for the first one. You find that the fact that you had been through a creative writing program at UT, did that help you? Or, you know, did it help you or not? Or in what ways did that help you be able to frame the story probably more efficiently than your first one?
Well, I think I'd always been very dedicated to my writing when I was younger, but mostly I was writing at times when I shouldn't have been, like during choir practice and stuff like that, whereas writing in my degree taught me to see this as a job and my career and treat the actual writing portion of it as part of the career. So to get the second one done and, you know, there's the pressure, especially on young adult authors, to get the next book out. I made sure that I woke up every morning about 2 hours before I would have to be at class and gave myself about 45 minutes in the morning to write. Didn't matter how much I wrote, but I just had to write something in the book. But also, and this was more of an unconscious helping for my degree, when I sent it to my editor and she read it over the first time, she just couldn't get over how much my writing had grown in the 2 years since she edited Ascension. And that was 2 years of mostly creative writing courses during that time. So even though I might not, you know, have been consciously thinking about it because I'm not a very big conscious thinker when I'm writing, I'm kind of very much in the zone. It definitely certainly helped my writing style and I guess everything. Pacing, I've got lots of comments that my pacing is very nice in the book. So
good. Your degree, your bachelor's degree, is it in creative writing or just in English?
It's English with a focus in creative writing.
Okay. And then while you were working on that, you also stumble across this graduate program for which you are getting ready to begin. And tell the listeners a little bit about what made you decide to go for this. You know, not only is it in a foreign country, but it's also another degree. It's a master's in writing. So what led you to this new journey that you're on?
Well, I always knew that I wanted to get my master's just as I love learning about writing and I love the community that it provides because it's a very workshop-based culture, which is conducive to my writing style. And I had gone to England last summer and just fallen in love with the country, and I was trying to figure out a way to go back. So I did look at master's programs in the U.S., and started to apply to them, and then I was just searching for Masters in Creative Writing program in the UK. And I stumbled upon Bath Spa University. And they have two programs in creative writing. They have the general creative writing, which is poetry, fiction, and creative nonfiction. But then they have my program, which is a master's in writing for young people. And that's just focused on children's and young adult literature. And I thoroughly appreciate and enjoy my four-year undergraduate degree, which is just general creative writing. But I learned absolutely nothing about the books that I truly am passionate about. And really the only tools I've had to teach me about writing young adult and children's fiction is from my own personal reading. And just the idea of being able to study exactly what I wanted to write was crazy exciting.
I imagine you'll probably be reading a lot of kids' books and YA.
Yes, I have my reading. I have half of my reading list already purchased on my shelf right now.
Oh, wow! Now, are you going to be reading kind of a mix of American and European authors, or
It's mostly prominently British. I believe the only big American name is John Green. We're reading The Fault in Our Stars.
Mm-hmm. And you probably have
Patrick Hast is also. I did read that my junior year in high school, so it'll just be a nice reread, but with a more critical eye now. And I'm reading Charlotte's Web. I've already read it once, but I'm going to read it again because that's my first week's reading course. And let's see, we have Patrick Ness, who is a British author but is very prominent in the U.S. But I really hadn't heard of any of the other authors. It's because it's interesting, I've noticed this now, that it's very easy, it seems, for American authors to become very popular abroad, but it seems that British authors don't get as much recognition in the U.S., except if you're Patrick Ness or J.K. Rowling or someone like that. So I'm excited to see what the British publishing industry has to offer.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting observation, because that is kind of true. I wonder if it depends upon having an international agent. You know,
I'm not really sure.
Interesting. That's a good
question.
When you
definitely something I'll be asking about in my class. So,
Which Patrick Ness are you reading? I love The Monster Call.
The Knife of Never Letting Go.
Okay, I think that's the first in that trilogy that he had.
Okay.
I forget the name of the trilogy, but I think that's the first or second in a trilogy.
Oh, Chaos
so if you like that
trilogy.
One, there. Yeah. So there are two other books in that one. So. You'll probably get addicted to him. But A Monster Calls, it's an individual book, but it's a wonderful book.
I got to meet him at Y'all Fest last year. He was the keynote speaker, and he was very mesmerizing. So I'm quite excited to read his books.
Well, just listening to somebody with a British accent is always wonderful anyway.
I'm
much more intelligent than you do. Yeah. Now, when you researched your master's program, were there particular authors who are, because I know a lot, well, with my MFA program, we had a lot of, I guess you'd call them celebrity guest authors who were mentors. So were there particular authors in this program who, you know, where you decided, oh, so-and-so teaches here, I want to be in this class?
Not necessarily, because again, most of the professors, while they are recently published young adult and children's authors, are British, and I'd never read them before. I believe that the guest professor this year is Michael Morpugo.
Who is a
wonderful, well-renowned author. I'm quite excited. But now that I've done some more research. about my professors. David Almond is also, I believe, on the staff, and we're reading Selig, and that sounds right up my alley. So I'm quite excited. But really, I just picked it because the program was perfect for me. I was excited to be back in England to this program. It's a very much an arts university, so they have like commercial music programs and art and design programs, wonderful huge theater program. So I'm excited. My university, UTC, is a great university, but it's very much focused on engineering and science. So it'll be a nice, refreshing year to be surrounded by creativity and artsy people.
Yeah, that's kind of what a graduate program does. I found myself, when I went to graduate school, I found the work actually easier than undergrad because everything was focused on my interests. So the only class, well, I have two masters, my only class that I struggled with was, I call it statistics, but for my MFA, I didn't have to have anything mathematical. It was all about writing and reading and literature. Yeah. So, you know, it's nice to be able to focus your attention on your study on exactly what you want to do. Now, once you're finished with this program, you also have a third book in your trilogy. Are you going to be working on the third book as part of your master's thesis, or is this going to be something you're going to be doing along the sidelines as you're going through your unit of study?
It's a sideline. I am contractually not allowed to let other people read early drafts of the third book. It's really only for my editor and publisher's eyes.
Okay.
So I've already written the rough draft of the third one. I did that this summer. That was my goal, to get done before England. And my editor actually just moved to England. So she's about 2 hours away from me, and she is actually working on edits right now. And then I have another book in the works that's with beta readers right now, and then I'll have to start a completely new project for my master's.
Wow. Now, once you're finished with your master's, what kind of vocational plan do you have? are you planning to teach writing or just keep, you know, trying to live off publishing books?
Well, I don't think living off my books right now is monetarily feasible. I'm not quite sure what the plans are after this year. I have a lot of ideas. I think I would be interested in teaching as a professor in a university job, but I'm also very interested in the publishing industry. And I've also considered the Fulbright Scholars Program. They have an interesting interviewing different people's stories, which kind of calls to me a little bit. So I don't really know. I guess it all depends how this year plays out.
What do you – okay, I'm a little in the dark about the Fulbright Scholarship. What does that entail? Is that where you're actually – working in a nonfiction capacity?
Kind of. There's several different facets to Fulbright Scholars. Most people, the one that it's most well known for is teaching English abroad. But then there's more like graduate student facets where they basically send you to a country and that with people that I'm assuming have a lot of history and stories to tell. And you'll be doing interviews to collect their stories and preserve them. And your way is pretty much paid for the length of the scholarship.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
when I had a little piece
for it,
session.
Except it's about... Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's
cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Peace Corps volunteer
a...
position with story.
Kind of, yeah. So it's definitely a big player in my possible future. It's very interesting to me. I considered it along with grad school when I kind of panicked in the fall, and like, I don't know if I want to do more school. I don't know what I want to do with my life. But I put it on the back burner for after master's.
Well, the one thing about a master's program is it does help you focus more, and you really understand where your own strengths and weaknesses are as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And after you've been through that, you'll get a clearer picture about what your career potential could be. And that whole story thing, it reminds me of, I think they still do this, a sponsored called StoryCorps. And they do that in the United States. And I believe I don't remember where it's centered out of. I think it's centered out of Washington, D.C., but StoryCorps, that's what it is. It's, you know, people tell their stories. They share them.
Oh.
So it's sort of like a living history.
Thing.
Yeah,
right.
You have to look
exactly.
that up. It might, you know, it's probably an NEA, you know, National Endowment of the Arts, I believe,
mm-hmm.
sponsors that. So,
right.
And I think it's still a viable group. But, yeah, that sounds fascinating. I mean, just think, if they pay your way somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll have
it's
not
a very
only the experience
good.
Of living in another, well, you're living in Bath, England, but, you know, you might be living in somewhere really bizarre, like, I don't know, Timbuktu.
Right.
Hopefully it's a safe country.
Right.
I'm
kind of in the in-between year. There's lots of possibilities of what could happen afterwards. So.
Yeah. Well, I think while you're there, too, you'll probably find out more. So have you met any of your potential classmates? You say you're living in a flat.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, nope, I have no information. I will learn all of that and I guess meet everyone next week. So really the only person that I know in Bath is my roommate, who's wonderful and lovely, and I've been very welcomed by her. So.
Mm-hmm. Good. And is she also in the program, or is she a different, work goes to a different university?
Yeah, she's in her undergraduate at Bath Spa in theater.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, the whole name, Bath Spa, it makes it sound like you're going to be in the hot tub every day. And
I know,
you know,
I
getting
wish.
Massages. I guess
that would be wonderful. I don't think unfortunately.
You're going to be probably doing a lot of work, a lot of reading, and a lot of writing. And you'll probably need a massage now and again. So.
Yes, maybe for Christmas.
Yeah. Now, before you start, are you going to make any little side trips, to Dover or Canterbury?
Well, I went to, I flew over with my mom, and because she'd never been to England before, so we went to London for a few days. So that was a little bit of a mini trip. And then this weekend, I'll be going down to Bournemouth, which is where my editor lives. So that's along the south coast. So it's a little kind of overnight trip. And then I'll jump right into the swing of things.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, it's nice that you're able to be there. England is a great country. London is my favorite city in the world. And,
wonderful.
I know it's smoggy and stinky and busy, but I just love it. It's just got everything there.
It's a funky city. It's its own thing.
It is. It is. And they do speak the Queen's English, so, you know, you don't have to learn language. You have to learn a few new terms, like, you know, we go to the John and they go to the Lou, you know, and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
But,
my roommate and I are having a great time comparing American and British things. So, I'm going to have to show her a PB&J sandwich.
Yeah, and have you tried Marmite?
I haven't. I was actually just asking her about that the other night. So she says she hates it and her mom loves it.
Oh, wow.
I'm quite interested to see what my reaction.
They don't eat PB&J like we do. And they Marmite the way we eat peanut butter.
Yes. Yeah, I bought a jar of peanut butter and she just kind of grimaced at me. So.
Yeah, that's my reaction to Marmite. So, well, you know, this is wonderful. I'm so happy for you because this is an adventure that you will carry with you always, and it will influence your whole life.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
You know, and I think that you're going to grow in innumerable ways that you don't even know are going,
yeah.
You know, how you will. So it's fantastic. I'm glad you latched onto the opportunity while you're still young and unencumbered. So who knows? Maybe
yeah.
you'll meet your prince while you're over there.
That's the most frequent comment that I'm getting from people. That, and are
yes.
you going to come back with a British accent?
That's right. You know, you'll be there, but hell yeah. Because I spent a summer with a British family. We were in England and Kenya, and I came back with a little bit of a British accent because it's almost hard not to.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'll be saying all their weird words, so.
Yeah, yeah, you'll lose a little bit of that American twang. And
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you'll have kind of a split accent, you know. But then if you want to keep it up, you know, that'll be the challenge. If you want to sound more intelligent, you'll have to work on keeping your accent.
Yeah.
So, well, we're just about out of time. Before we sign off, if you have any, I guess, pieces of advice for our listeners. A lot of our listeners are writers, and you know, you've met a measure of success along the way, and you're working on furthering your career to another level. What advice do you have for anybody out there who is considering writing a book, or in your case, a series?
Yeah, well, I always just tell people to go for it. It's extremely intimidating, especially starting. I didn't know it was a series when I started Ascension, but just starting a new project is terrifying. But at the same time, I also encourage people to continue learning and reading. A creative writing degree is not a requirement to becoming a published author by any means. Obviously, I did it before I had my creative writing degree.
Mm-hmm.
And many people come from different sects of the world and are from, like, math. Like Nicola Yoon was a statistics and, like, worked in the math industry for a very long time. But,
oh, wow.
You know, you don't have to. Yeah, I'm pretty sure she worked on Wall Street. but, you know, you don't have to be, like, considered what a typical writer is to write your book. And you don't have to get a degree to write your book. But at the same time, I very much encourage anyone who would want to go on, even if you didn't get your undergraduate in creative writing, that doesn't mean that you can't get your master's in creative writing. Because anyone can get their master's in pretty much anything that they want, which I think is wonderful. But I definitely encourage reading as much as you can and writing as much as you can and listening to as many podcasts about writing as you can. And that's just how you learn. It's experience and sitting down with the page and sitting down with books and absorbing everything possible.
Great advice. And Hannah, I wish you the best of everything. Have a wonderful time with your studies, and it's going to go quickly, and I think you're going to love it, even on times when you're thinking, oh, I can't do it anymore. You'll be fine, because you're going to be with like-minded people, and you can sit and,
yeah.
and, you know, and kibitz about all the things that are driving you crazy. But, you know,
yeah.
I think overall, you're just going to love this. So
yeah,
I'm kind of envious.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't I have more degrees than a thermometer, but I'd love to be able to go to a foreign country and take a degree. That's just fantastic. So, but, yes, thank
I'm
you again
lucky.
For being a guest, and I wish you the best of luck.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay. We've been listening to Hannah Riles, and she has her current book is called Clandestine, and she is in school over there in Bath, England, and I wish her the best of luck. And you've been listening to the Young Adult Cafe with Laura Moe, and this is a copyrighted podcast solely owned by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. And next week we will be talking to Erin Cashman about her latest book. So until then, this has been the Young Adult Cafe.